Too fast, let's do it together. Om again, Kamarandasya, Nandana, Savakaya, Chakshavandanitam Yena, Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam, Savitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam, Dadati Svapadantikam, Vandenam Shri Guru, Shri Jura Patakamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavamcha, Shri Rupam Sajidatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitantam Sajivam, Sarvetam Savaduktam Parijitana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Paranam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitantya, Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Vigatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Navostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Vananami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Chubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyehacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha
Sri Krishna
Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Vidada Jiva Sadigo Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare
Page 203 Chapter 4, verse number 15. Evam gyatva kitam karma.
Evam gyatva kitam.
Kitam karma.
Purvarapi mamukshubhi.
Purvarapi mamukshubhi.
Guru karma eva tasmatvam
Guru karma eva tamastatvam
Purve purvataram kritam
Purva purvaravatam kritam
Evam gyatva kritam karma
Evam gyatva kritam karma
Purve api mumukshubi
Purve api mumukshubi
Guru karma eva tasmatvam
Guru karma eva tasmatvam
Purve purva taram kritam
Purva purva taram kritam
Evam gyatva kritam karma
Evam gyatva kritam karma
Purva rapi mumukshubi
Purva rapi mumukshubi
Guru karma eva tasmatvam
Guru karma
कृतं कर्म
एवं ज्ञात्वा कृतं कर्म
पूर्वैरपि मुमुक्षुभिः
पूर्वैरपि मुमुक्षुभिः
कुरु कर्मैव तस्मात् त्वं
कुरु कर्मैव तस्मात् त्वं
पूर्वपूर्वोत्तरं कृतं
पूर्वपूर्वोत्तरं कृतम्
एवं
एवं
thus
thus
kappa
yadva
knowing
well
kritam
kritam was performed
karma
karma
work
purvai by past authorities api
indeed
mumukshubi who attained liberation
Guru, just perform.
Karma,
prescribed duty.
Eva,
certainly.
Tasmat, therefore. Tvam, you.
Purvai,
by the predecessors.
Purvataram, in ancient times.
Kritam
has performed. All the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature. Therefore, you should perform your duty following in my footsteps. Please repeat. All the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding
of my transcendental nature.
Therefore you should perform
your duty
following in their footsteps. Prabhupada's purport. There are two classes of men. Some of them are full of polluted material things within their hearts, and some of them are materially free. Krishna consciousness is equally beneficial for both of these persons. Those who are full of dirty things can take to the line of Krishna consciousness for a gradual cleansing process, following the regulative principles of devotional service. Those who are already cleansed of the impurities may continue to act in the same Krishna consciousness so that others may follow their exemplary activities and thereby be benefited. Foolish persons or neophytes in Krishna consciousness often want to retire from activities without having knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Arjuna's desire to retire from activities on the battlefield was not approved by the Lord. One need only know how to act. To retire from the activities of Krishna consciousness and to sit aloof making a show of Krishna consciousness is less important than actually engaging in the field of activities for the sake of Krishna. Arjuna is here advised to act in Krishna consciousness, following in the footsteps of the Lord's previous disciples, such as the sun god Vivaswan, as mentioned herein before. The Supreme Lord knows all his past activities as well as those of persons who acted in Krishna consciousness in the past. Therefore, he recommends the acts of the sun god who learned the art from the Lord some millions of years before. All such students of Lord Krishna are mentioned here as past liberated persons engaged in the discharge of the duties allotted by Krishna. All the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature. Therefore, you should perform your duty following in their footsteps. I read the previous verse, because this is that's the understanding of Krishna's transcendental nature. There is no work that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. One who understands this truth about me also does not become entangled in the fruit of reactions of work. Generally, everyone in the material world is acting in karma. Karma means there's three things. One is called karma, prescribed religious activities. One is called Vikarma, vikarma means work that's condemned in the scriptures, and illegal activities by Vedic standards. And the other is called akarma. Akarma means there's no reaction. So akarma, it refers to acts in devotional service, because there's no reactions attached to this work. If you go outside and go sing and dance at a nightclub, then there will be karmic reactions which follow that. But if you come to the temple and chant and dance in front of the deities, then there's no karmic reaction for that. Not only is there no karmic reaction, but you make progress on the path back to home, back to Godhead by chanting and dancing in front of the deities. If you take a walk to whatever you're doing and whatever a person is doing in their life, you walk to the library, that's karma. But if you use your legs or drive your car to the temple of Krishna to visit Krishna, chant his holy names, and that's holy pilgrimage. Every step that you take is a step. Like pilgrimage to the holy places like Vrindavan and Mayapur. So many holy places in India. India is the land of Krishna. It's the best place in this universe, Bharatvarsha. And so to take, there are many holy places of Krishna's pastimes there. And if you take your, if you use your legs to walk to those places, or drive to, however you get there, it's a holy pilgrimage. So the same principle applies here in Boston, or anywhere, Moscow or Beijing, wherever you walk or go to the temple, it's a holy pilgrimage. And every step that you take brings us a step closer back to home, back to Godhead. For Krishna, there's no result, and there's nothing, no work affects Krishna. Krishna is completely transcendental. Krishna is not under the control of anything. Krishna is not under the control of time. He is the controller of time. He's not under the controller of the birth, death, old age, and disease. He's the controller of everything. He's not under the laws of karma. He creates the laws of karma. He can't be affected by anything. So there's no work that can affect Krishna. And Krishna doesn't aspire for the fruits of action. Everyone in the material world is that's all they think about it. I'm doing this, and because I did this, I'm going to get that. I'm pleasing this person, and because I please them, they're going to give me this. And then Prabhupada says, like if you go to work and the boss tells you, well, I'm not going to pay you anymore, but I'd like it if you could keep working. And you say, well, that's crazy. And if you said to the boss, I'm not going to work anymore, but I'd really appreciate it if you keep paying me, then obviously that, it just doesn't work in the material realm. That does not compute. What? But in the spiritual world, in the spiritual realm, Krishna doesn't pay us. We get up early every morning, we come to the temple, we chant and dance, we chant Krishna's names in japa for hours, we do cooking and worshiping the deity, so many things. You come to the temple, you do so many services. But Krishna's not giving you any money for that. You're not getting paid for that. But you do it willingly. And similarly, Krishna is not obliged. Krishna doesn't pay us, nor do we ask Krishna for any money. We say, Krishna, I'll be happy to sweep the floor. I'll be happy to go shopping for you, or go on Harinam, or do all these things for you. And Krishna But don't give me anything for that. Don't be silly. Don't give me anything for it. I do it because I want to, because I'm trying to become a good devotee and develop love for you. So we don't ask Krishna for anything, and Krishna doesn't. Krishna willingly gives himself to us. So that's transcendental activities. I was just listening to one lecture this morning walk this morning with Prabhupada in Hawaii, and Prabhupada said, he says, why are you following me? If I tell you to do this or do that, you'll immediately doing it. You'll immediately do it. But I'm not paying you. I'm not giving you any money. But you willingly do it because that is love. We don't, it's like your mother. You don't ask your mother to pay you, or she doesn't ask you to. You have to do this, otherwise I'm not giving you anything to eat today. But so that the epitome of that, the loving relationship is with Krishna. So Krishna doesn't aspire for the fruits of any action, and the devotee, and there's no work that affects him. And he says there, one understands this truth about me also does not become entangled in the fruit of what reactions of work. And the laws of material energy are so entangling. Everything you do, like every step you make is a struggle. You're like fighting against all these entanglements. Every step of the way, it's difficult. Especially in Kali Yuga. But in the material world, anytime, the laws of material energy apply in Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga. But Kali Yuga is the worst age, the most difficult age. So everything is so entangled, but we don't become entangled in, we don't become entangled. It's like, we don't become entangled. So that's very important. And Prabhupada says here that all the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature. Therefore you should perform your duty following in their footsteps. This science is an eternal science. It's not like, it's like mundane science. It changes. Different theories, different understandings from century to century, or decade to decade, or year to year. The understandings are always changing. But Krishna, the science of devotional service to Krishna, going back to God, it never changes. It's always exactly the same. And Prabhupada describes Krishna consciousness in various ways. Sometimes he calls it the supreme art. And Krishna refers to it as the art. This is the art of all work, devotional service. So everything, it's an art. It's just like, I use this example sometimes. There was somebody who was hearing somebody playing the piano in the next room, and it was beautiful. It sounded like a beautiful composition that he was playing. But when he went in and saw what he was playing, he was playing the scales up and down, not varying the notes at all, just up and down on the scales. But he was such an expert musician that this just playing the scale, like if I play the scale, like do re mi fa, and maybe I'll miss a note, even just playing the scale up and down. And it won't sound like a great music, but for the expert pianist, even just playing the scale will sound beautiful. So in Krishna consciousness, in the beginning, we're neophytes and we do everything just according to our instructions, and we're practicing. In the material world, if you practice to become a great musician, well, you may not have any talent. You may never become a great musician, even if you practice a lot. Or you may become pretty good, but nothing special. But in devotional service, because Krishna bhakti, devotional service to Krishna, is our eternal nature. So as we practice devotional service, the increase in our intensity and duration and experience, the natural Krishna bhakti comes out automatically from everybody. You may not be a talented musician or athlete, but you're a talented, you're a pure spirit soul, and you become a great devotee. Everyone has the potential in them to realize that everyone is pure at heart. And it's like the Christian idea. So the Christian idea is that you're completely fallen. You're evil. You're bad. You have nothing. You're just bad, and you're fallen because Adam and Eve fell. So you're fallen. There's nothing good about you. The only good thing is you have no hope at all unless you surrender to Jesus Christ. And it's true. You should surrender to Jesus Christ if that's your path of discipline. But the Vedic idea, the Krishna's idea, is that no, you're not essentially bad. You're essentially pure. You're pure at heart. Every conditioned soul, covered and bad as we may be in our present existence, we're not bad at heart. We're pure at heart. Every living entity is by nature pure. So that simply has to be brought out. It simply has to be remembered by our performance of devotional service. We're all meant for that. That's what Krishna wants to do. So anyway, Krishna says, those who are full of dirty things can take to the line of Krishna consciousness for a gradual cleansing process following the regulative principles of devotional service. There's a chapter that we read from the Brahma Samhita, and one of the all the verses end, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. It's a greeting the deities in the morning every day. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Those are the verses from the Brahma Samhita, written by Lord Brahma in praise of Krishna. And Prabhupada recommends those, recommends that to be studied and try to enter the spirit of this as a regular daily function. Prabhupada recommended very strongly, and he quotes it very frequently throughout his purports and lectures. He quotes verses from the Brahma Samhita, and there's one verse at the end of that chapter where Lord Brahma says this, and I don't have the exact translation, but there's three ideas that he mentions in that verse. He says, this devotional service is practiced by slow degrees according to the rules and regulations over a long period of time. But that's the general way that a person makes progress in devotional service. Like anything, any discipline in the material world is like that also. You have to practice painstakingly according to the prescribed rule. There's one famous story of a famous violinist, and he would accept students, and it might have been Yasha Heifetz. It was a very famous violinist, and there was one incident I heard. He was accepting a student or a prospective student, and he asked, have you had any previous training on the violin? And he said, because if he had any previous training, he would charge him more. Because he asked, rectify whatever bad habits he's developed, and it'll be more difficult for him. So it's good. We're starting from scratch, and it's good. Because you know, if we don't have any previous training, because the Prabhupada or a spiritual master can work with us and mold us freshly without any resistance, or without very much resistance. So the devotional service is practiced by slow degrees, according to the rules and regulations, over a long period of time. And Krishna says here, therefore you should perform your duty, following in their footsteps. So duty is an extremely important concept, and Prabhupada emphasized duty so heavily. In the beginning and throughout his stay here and in his books, and he emphasized constantly, you work for Krishna, do your duty. Because how do we develop love? How do we show somebody that we love them? We're dutiful. If you can say anything, I love you, but if you don't do your duty for the person, then it's just empty words. So Prabhupada emphasized very, very heavily doing your duty. And there's that story. There's so many stories from Prabhupada's life, but he emphasized duty so often. And one final point is that Prabhupada mentions here that a person who's making advancement in Krishna consciousness, sometimes they want to imitate a great devotee like Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur sat alone in a hut and did nothing but chant Hare Krishna all day. And he's known as the Namacharya, the teacher of the holy name. So, but all he did all day, every day, was chant the holy name. So it's a lot of, and there are so many devotees through the course of history who took up that mode of devotional service. But Prabhupada didn't recommend that for us. He wanted us, he says in this purport, one shouldn't chant alone or try to put on a show of devotional service and for cheap adoration. And achieve the public, just like a public. The public, if you're a great athlete, like in the United States, if you're a great athlete, people are like, "Wow, look at that guy." But in Vedic culture, or still in India today, I never lived in India, but there is still today. There's respect given to renunciates and sadhus, and so that people can be fooled by a show of renunciation and devotional services. This will be my last point, but Prabhupada recommended, he wanted us to preach, to be active in preaching. One of his sayings was, work now, samadhi later. Don't worry about, you'll get your samadhi, you'll be mad and ecstasy and running on the banks of the Jamuna and chanting Radharani and Krishna's name. That'll come someday. But at the present time, the thing to do is to engage in the preaching mission. Prabhupada, this is a preaching mission, and there's so much work that has to be done for the sake of putting on a festival, having a program at night, maintaining a temple. There's so much work involved in maintaining a temple, money, time, devotional service. So Prabhupada wanted us to be busy, active, and not just imitate the great souls who are very advanced, and that may come in due course of time, but don't worry about it now. The thing to do now is to work and serve in the preaching mission. There's one story I like from Prabhupada's time. He was traveling in like 1970, and I forget what town he was in, what city in India, but he had some of his disciples there, and he was staying. There was a rich person who had some little cabins on his property, and I tell this story once in a while, because I like it a lot. had some cabins, and Prabhupada was staying in one of the cabins, and his disciples were staying in the other cabin. So Prabhupada was sitting outside of his cabin one morning chanting japa. And this Indian man, local man, he comes walking along, and he sees Prabhupada, and he knows, this is Bhaktivedanta Swami. He's a great Vaishnava. And I will show him, he's thinking, I'll show him that I am also a great Vaishnava, that I'm also an advanced devotee. And I'm a great lover of Krishna too. I will show him. And so he goes walking and he stops in front of Prabhupada and he starts he falls on the ground and he's rolling on the ground and Krishna, Krishna, and he's and Prabhupada just sits there chanting. He doesn't pay any attention to him. He just sits there chanting japa. And the man, after a few minutes, he gets frustrated and he gets up and walks away. Because he's like, I'm trying to show him that I'm a great devotee too, and he just ignored me. So if he's really on that level, if he's really absorbed in pure love of Krishna, he doesn't care who sees him or who, if somebody notices him. I mean, he doesn't care if somebody comes along and kicks him because they don't like pure devotees. They don't like devotees. Somebody comes along and kicks them and says, I don't like you devotees. Bam! But he doesn't care. He wouldn't care about that. And he certainly doesn't care if somebody doesn't notice that, oh, yes, you are a great devotee. Anyway, that's an example from a nice story from Prabhupada's life, a nice example. And so Prabhupada didn't want, because there's a tendency in every conditioned soul, there's a tendency to want to show off. As soon as you can learn how to do anything in the material world, you want to show off. You say, well, we want to say, look at my degree, look what I have done, look at this, look at that, look at me playing football, look at me playing the piano. Everyone wants to show off. So in devotional service, it's no different. Everybody has a tendency to show off. There's a term for it in Prakriti Sahajya. We all have some Sahajya tendency in us. Sahajya means that you take it very lightly, very cheaply. Krishna consciousness is such a heavy, heavy thing. And somebody thinks that, oh, I've been chanting Hare Krishna for a year now, I'm very advanced. Look at how I sit and chant japa how I do it in such a nice, pure way. And you can see that I'm advanced. So it's ridiculous. We're neophytes. But there's a tendency in all of us. And Prabhupada knew that. Prabhupada knows that. That there's a term for it now we have in ISKCON, is a term I like, it's called, we have all these syndromes, obsessive, compulsive, and all these syndromes we have. So in Krishna consciousness we have pure devotee syndrome. It's kind of, it's humorous, but it makes a good point. It points out that the Sahajiya tendencies that we all have. We all have Mayavadi tendencies, impersonal tendencies, we have Sahajiya tendencies, we definitely have tendencies for sense gratification. It's like any negative behavior or tendency that we have, we all have them all. And Prabhupada warns us against them time and time again, like in the Rasa dance with Krishna, and describes the gopis and Krishna. So Prabhupada wrote that in the very early in ISKCON, he gave the Rasa dance with Krishna and the gopis. It's the most intimate pastimes. It's not for neophytes, but Prabhupada gave it to the neophytes But he accompanied it with warnings all throughout that pastime and all of Prabhupada's book. There's many, many, many warnings that you should do this, you should think that, you should develop this, but watch out for this, look out for that, look out for this, you have to be careful of this, be careful of that. And Prabhupada was always cautioning us, because there are many pitfalls. Okay, stop there. Any questions or comments? Crazy things going on in our mind. There's that story of a devotee who said, Prabhupada, oh Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. And Prabhupada said, you're not the most anything. Hey, I'm the most fallen. Oh, I'm so humble. You know, that I'm the most fallen, that means you're saying I'm a great devotee. Because so often in Prabhupada's books, he says that the pure devotees, they think of themselves as the most fallen. So if you read Prabhupada's books and you see that, and then you say I'm the most fallen, it means that to some extent you're trying to pretend to be a great devotee. And there's another story that I really like, and there's one devotee who's telling Prabhupada, and these are devotees who've been with Prabhupada for like 2 years, 5 years, maybe 7 or 8 years, maybe 10 years, and they've done a lot of devotional service. They've washed pots and distributed books and then chanted Harinam and done a lot of austerity. These are tough people, these are heavy devotees, and this song is really tough, loud, really staunch people in this that were serving Prabhupada, and still are, not like that's a thing of the past. There's so many devotees who are doing incredible devotional service, very dedicated. But so this one disciple was telling Prabhupada that he said, well, Prabhupada, sometimes I fall into Maya. And Prabhupada said, he said, you're always in Maya. Sometimes you fall into Krishna. And these are good devotees. I mean, these are good devotees. And they're making advancement. But Prabhupada, like, I remember when I got initiated, I was a devotee I've been in the temple for 6 months. Generally at that time, if you were in the temple for 6 months, then your behavior was good and your devotional service was steady, then you'd get initiated. And we went down to, a few of us went down to New York for Rath Yatra, and then the next day after Rath Yatra, I got initiated. Prabhupada, it was a big fire sacrifice. It was 50 first initiates, and I was one of them, and 25 second initiates. The big fire sacrifice. Big fire, too. And I was like sitting like 5 feet away from the fire. It was really hot, like a 100-degree day, and there were like 300 devotees in the temple jumping up and down in kirtan, and we were sitting right beside this fire, so it was like, it's really hot. And anyway, I got initiated, and super hot and you're sweating like anything, and you just have a chatter on, right? And your sweat is pouring out of you, and everybody behind you has this plate, a paper plate with sesame seeds soaked in ghee. And every time the person doing the fire sacrifice says swaha, and everybody throws sesame seeds covered with ghee towards the fire. And most of them don't get to the fire, but a lot of them were landing on us in the first row. And so it's like 100 degrees, and it's like you're covered with ghee and sesame seeds. Anyway, I got initiated. And then the next day, later that day, we drove back from New York, and I come in the back door of the temple, and one of the older devotees in the temple, old devotee at that time was like 5 years as an old devotee. And he's a great devotee, he's a good, really good devotee. And he's the head cook, he's in the kitchen, and I used to work with him in the kitchen a lot, like washing pots and cutting vegetables. And he heard on the phone that what our names were, so our initiated names. So I come in the back door and I go walk in the kitchen to greet him, and he says, "Oh, Muktavandya, great soul." And I'm thinking, and I remember thinking, very clearly, he said, "Ah, yes, now he's recognized me as a great soul." And then I'm finally getting what I deserve. And then he said, he saw what I was thinking in my face. He understood what I was thinking. And he said, "Okay, now go up and take a shower, change your clothes, and get down here and wash the pots." Because, it's bringing me back to earth. It's like, all right, yeah, you're a great soul. You're a great soul because you're included, you're an initiated disciple of Prabhupada. You're in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, direct disciple, descendant of Krishna, Lord Brahma, Śrīla Vyāsadeva, Narada Muni, Prabhupada. So, yeah, great soul. But, geez, don't get puffed up. Get serious. You're no different than you were yesterday. You're still a very, very neophyte devotee. All right, let's say goodbye to our good friend Amarnath. We want him to come back soon. So we have so many tendencies we have, and I had to get smashed. And I got smashed time after time after time for a puffed up nature. You have to get, there's pain involved in making progress. Because we're so attached to the false ego, so attached to an idea of myself that I'm very intelligent, pretty advanced, look at me. I mean, we've really got some pretty serious false ego issues. And I remember the first time I came to the temple, and they played a Prabhupada lecture during Prachadam. And one thing I remember hearing Prabhupada said, he said, "And you should know that you're damn fool number one." And I was like, what? I mean, I took it, I accepted it. But at the same time, I freaked out a little, because damn fool number one. I thought I was smart. Now I come to the temple and I'm damn fool number one. But you have to hear those heavy things. You have to hear the heavy stuff, because we're very puffed up. Anyways, let me stop there. I'll go to Shuga Prabhupada.